Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 11:21. We start going through this. You're going to notice here in a couple of minutes that the atmosphere is going to change. It's already doing well, but it's going to get more gooder. Said that just for the English teacher. It's going to get more gooder. Now, I presented this to the Navigate group. And what I want to attempt to do, what I believe the Lord would have me do, is present this to you tonight on a little different of a level. And then on Sunday, we're going to go at it again. Because I want to make sure that you get this so that you can have these things established in your thinking. And so let me tell you why you're going to Deuteronomy 11:21, that the context of these verses... God's talking to Israel about taking them into the promised land, into the new place, okay? Now, he's giving instructions on how to have this land, how to keep this land. So you can go back in your studies and read these. Many of you know these scriptures. He's talking about, okay, I'm going to take you into the promised land. It's way different than how you lived in the wilderness. It's way different than how you lived in Egypt. So come on in. So he's instructing them. Now, basically, this is how I can tell you what he's saying. He's telling them to keep the covenant faithfully, and they're going to have this. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay, so here's the verse. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give you, as the days of heaven upon the earth. The days of heaven upon the earth. So basically, keep the covenant. You'll be blessed. Your children will be blessed. And you'll have days of heaven upon earth. Now, two thoughts. Both are okay. Heaven is over earth. Heaven and earth meet at the horizon, right? Yeah. So as long as heaven and earth meet at the horizon... this land is going to be yours. And so that's why for Zion's sake, we do not keep silent to this day. The land belongs to them. Okay. Now, and of course, we're going to bring this over for us. But the word heaven there is the word Shemay. And that word in Hebrew, it does mean sky. It does mean universe. But it also means the place where God abides. Okay. So... heaven on earth, either way is good. But what I'm getting at is that you can have days of heaven on earth. And as long as heaven is, you're going to understand why I'm making these statements in about 10 minutes, okay? As long as heaven is right next to earth, remember I said that, okay? As long as heaven is right next to earth, you can have heaven on earth. Amen. Okay? Okay. Now, just walk. You're going to have to walk with me through this. Now, for them, they had to keep the commandments. For us, it's faith in Jesus, who is our covenant representative. He has kept the law. He kept the law. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled everything, gave us the promise. Our part is faith in Jesus. So it's not saying you better be perfect or you can't have the promises. It's saying if you believe in Jesus, you can have the promises. Okay. And so on, that he's your Lord, you know. So heaven is right next to earth. Now, a few years ago, I had some friends tell me that their leader, I don't even remember who they were. I just remember the conversation. But they said something like... our leader said that heaven is not on earth. Okay. And I was like, I wonder how he got that. Because Jesus said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So surely earth can be like heaven if Jesus told us to pray that. Amen. Right? Okay. So that kind of seals the deal for me. So, but what I want to do is, to me, it's interesting. I think God is interested in heaven on earth for us. But what does that look like? Does that look like happy days? Or is that just for people who have fallen in love and they have heaven on earth, you know? I mean, or is that health and wealth, or what would heaven on earth look like? I think it, and you're going to say, what? But walk with me now. It looks like heaven touching earth. Okay. Now just hold that in your thoughts. You'll get with me here in a minute. I think what we need to do is look at the intentions of the Godhead in this so that we can see clearly and get the real picture. And I would just say this to you. Now, I've said this to some of you. You've heard this for many years. Dimensions are essential for us to break into if we're going to actually be achievers of the purposes of God. Yeah. Dimensions. We should break into dimensions. So we're not old time religion where we're just trying to be good so maybe God will love us. No, we understand so much more about the Bible. We understand we are the family of God. We got in by faith. We're not earning God's love. We understand all these things. And if you don't, you will, if you hang around us long enough. And so we're not, we understand that the Bible is manifold. You can see many things in the scriptures, right? As you begin to press into them. So I think it's impossible for us to do the things that God requires us to do if it's just by our own attempt. We have to break into these things, so to speak. We have to understand these things. That's what we're going to do. You know, Revelation actually gives the church a unique advantage. The rest of the world does not have revelation. They live by information. Now that statement's going to become important to you here in about 5 minutes. But the whole world just lives on information. The church should live on revelation. That's what Adam lived on. He lived on revelation. It's different than information. Amen. If you're born again, you didn't get born again with information. You got born again the way that Peter got born again. He got born again, but Jesus said the Father revealed it to Peter. So revelation, it's revealed to you this higher level, I don't want to say it's thinking, but I don't want to just leave you there. You're understanding, things in a different way. We have the Holy Spirit as a teacher. We have the Word. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So God's prepared something for you if you love him, right? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what we see is the Spirit of God understands God. The Holy Spirit understands, and the Holy Spirit reveals or gives us revelation, the deeper things, so that we can have what God has prepared for us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You staying with me? Now, you can't get that with your five senses. You can't get that without the Spirit of God. That's why some people look at you like you're cuckoo. Because they're like, huh, what are you talking about? God talks to you. What are you talking about? God doesn't talk to people. Well, see, they're lacking a certain revelation. They haven't heard enough to get in there. They don't really know God, maybe like you do. Now, our human spirit is the central processing unit, okay, of revelation. We'll call it the CPU of your human thoughts. That's what it is. So what you have is, of your thoughts, let me say that. But you have revelation coming in, but you also have your human thoughts coming in, and you also have the thoughts of the world coming in, which is produced by Satan. Okay. So you can tell that by how the world has tried to normalize a bunch of, stuff. Okay. So, but what we see here is that your spirit is doing some work here. It has the capacity to sift through the human and the demonic interference passing through our senses to capture the voice of God. What I'm trying to tell you is, well, let me not get too far ahead of myself. I want to jump and run on this, but I'll try to slow down a little bit. So what we have to do with this CPU is we have to exercise so that our capacity, we have to exercise our spiritual capacity to discern the Holy Spirit revealing truth as opposed to what is a lie. Now I can say some things to you and real easy, you're going to go, Shall we try it? Well, the Lord put this sickness on me to teach me a lesson. Well, the Lord wants me to be broke and humble. No. See, y'all know that's not Bible, but you have revelation of that. Religion teaches people to be broke and humble, but the Bible doesn't.
Right.
Now, those are real easy things, but you know, when you're standing in front of the mirror getting ready and you're saying, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. If you know deep enough, you know that's a lie. Okay, now, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. You can't get it with just your thinking. You can't get it with just your senses. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to slow down. Are y'all okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the carnally minded person, church, they don't take hold of a lot of spiritual things. They just think that was them thinking or that was just daydreaming.
Yeah.
They'll just pass it off. Their filter's not working for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. But when you begin to allow your spirit to function as the leader.
Okay.
Then you're going to pick up things from God that otherwise you wouldn't, because you can't get it any other way. God is a spirit. Okay. You're totally able to scan the thoughts. You're able to, but you have to actually exercise that. So, and we have to understand that Holy Spirit, this is what I want to tell you. Holy Spirit is always talking.
Yes.
We used to say this, as some of y'all that have been around here for a long time, we used to say, you just have to tune in. Those of y'all that were raised on radio, you had to tune in to the station.
Right.
If you're gonna get, if you wanted to hear Mac, you had to tune in to Spirit 105. What is it now that they tune into? 103.9. But I'll just warn you, that's country music. Which I like, but you know. Anyway, so, but listen to this. I'm going to set this up for you. Can you take it? Okay. On the day of Pentecost, a new era started. It was a prophetic era. Okay. Moses started this. Moses did. Moses said over in Numbers 11:29, y'all can write that down, 11:29, Numbers 11:29, he said, he was talking to someone and he said, are you jealous for my sake? In other words, saying, are you jealous of me? He's saying, if it was up to me, all Jehovah's people would be prophets. That Jehovah would put his spirit upon them. Now this is what we understand about this verse. Moses was leading the people. He was a prophet, but God wanted to speak to all the people.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
He wanted to speak to all the people. They said no. They said, Moses, you talk to him. We're afraid of him. And we're not going to talk to him. You go talk to him. And so now they're stuck with getting the Ten Commandments and having to work it out in their flesh. God knew they couldn't work it out in their flesh, so he set up a sacrificial system to take care of them until the true Lamb of God comes on the scene. He's so wonderful. He said so great. But so Moses is saying, I just wish everybody wanted to have God talking to them. That's what he's saying. Then Joel comes along, the prophet Joel. And he says this, it shall be afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So he's saying that God in the future from the time of Joel is going to do something that has never been done before. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay, fast forward to the day of Pentecost now. Peter stands up and says, so the, okay, 120 people are praying. All of a sudden, something like a mighty wind comes into the earth, starts blowing. These guys come running out like a bunch of drunk people, and they're talking in the languages of everybody there. So people are hearing God talk to them. Okay, now, so Peter comes on there and he says, well, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. You're going to be seeing visions. You're going to have dreams. You're going to prophesy, men, women, employees, whoever. It's everybody. It's not the fivefold ministry. Everybody's going to be able to hear the voice of God and talk what God's saying.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay. Now, don't overlook the defining moment here, because this is what we as Spirit-filled church would say. We'd say, that's the day everybody got filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God, I got filled with the Holy Ghost on April the 8th in 1976. That's what I would say. You know, when did you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? You're like, you're really that old? Praise the Lord. So here's the deal. That's what we settle on right here. You see that? Oh, that this is what we preach when we want to tell people they need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is that right? But don't miss the whole defining moment of this, because there were people participating, but there were people spectating. Okay? So there's people also looking on here, partakers and spectators. So what Peter does is he clears it up for both of them. The Holy Spirit would come and do something unprecedented, and he's gonna breach those dogmatic structures. It's like this, it's like this, it's like this. All the humanistic religious protocols are gonna be broken through, are being broken through on this day. And what's gonna happen is God is going to, engage every person on the planet. Come on. Now, Holy Spirit's loosed in the earth, and every person can hear God. That's the moment. That's the difference. Before, they had to hear people through a prophet. But now Holy Spirit's released in the earth. The veil was torn when Jesus was crucified. The presence of God came out of the temple, came through, was released into the atmosphere of the world, and now every person, that's why when they're, quote, speaking in tongues, they're speaking in the language of other people. Other people are hearing it, and that is just a symbol that God's talking now to everybody. So it's way bigger than just, we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, now we can pray in tongues. It's way bigger than that. This is, you know what this is saying? You don't have an excuse. Because God is talking to you.
Well, that's so good.
I like this stuff. Praise the Lord. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
All right. Can we go further?
Yeah.
Now, so everybody's going to hear the voice of God. Nobody's going to have an excuse. But now this is where you got to hear me. This wasn't just to the Christians. Only the 120 were Christians. But 3,000 got saved. How did they get saved? Because they could hear. They then could hear. So Holy Spirit being loosed on that day caused something in them, unsaved people, to make the connection and hear it.
Yeah. Praise God.
God has lit every person. There's a light in every person.
That's right. It's true.
Doesn't mean everybody's born again, but they have that capability. And so that day, once Peter, people didn't start getting saved when they all started speaking in tongues. I mean, it's a wonderful gift. We love it. But they started, they got saved when he preached the word.
Yeah, that's true.
So here comes Holy Spirit. Here comes word. Boom. 3,000 people. The church now has 3,120 people.
Yeah.
Amen. Now walk with me. Listen to 1 Kings 19:11. 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but Jehovah was not in the fire. After the fire was a still, small voice. Okay? Sometimes we get to looking at the wind and the earth, the wind and the fire, and we overlook the defining moment. Because it's a big deal. There's a lot going on. But the defining moment here is that now everyone has the capability. Can I tell you that when the Twin Towers, 9/11 happened, God spoke to every person that morning.
It's true.
Yes, he did. He spoke to every person. And the ones that heard him did not go in there. And some that went in there, one person said they heard something on the inside of them holler, run! And they did, and they made it out. God is a good God. And he's always speaking. So, it's that still small voice. Now, so on this day, the power of God released the power to birth salvation. That's what happened on this day. So, what am I saying? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, but God's fulfilling an ancient prophecy that we just were looking at, that he would never give any human being on the planet a way to excuse themselves concerning him speaking to them. Because here it is, I'm releasing the Holy Spirit, world. Well, what if they didn't hear the word? Well, I'll just tell you, the Native American people knew the great forever spirit. And I'm sure God had a way to work with them on that. I don't understand it all, but I know God has spoken to every person, are moved on every person. At some point in every person's life, there will either come a time or there has been a time when the Father will draw them and reveal something to them. This is what we're going to say in short. God opened heaven. Have you heard the people that pray? We're just praying and bombarding the gates of heaven. We're bombarding the gates of heaven. Honey, they're open. You don't have to bombard anything. You need to bombard here. You're the one that would be closed off, not heaven. You got to work on you. Heaven is open for you. You have the opportunity to hear him and do what he's saying. He's speaking, and you just have to use your central processing unit and discern the voices, okay? Now, I'm going to go somewhere. Can we go further? Okay. The book of Genesis is a book of the gene pool of God. Okay? The book of Genesis is a book of the gene pool of God. It's the story of our DNA, where we came from and how we became who we are. I keep coming back to what you taught me today. It was so good. I'm going to get you to tell the people that. Listen, the Genesis is the story of creation, but it is also the story of formation. Okay? Now, people don't see this, but it's true. Genesis 1 and 2 are not the same events. Mm-hmm. Why did he repeat himself? He didn't. No, he's not repeating himself. Listen to Jeremiah 1:5. This will help you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And therefore thou camest forth out of the womb. I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah is a teenager at this time. God is starting to talk to him. I mean, this is a kid that's just going through teenage life. And here is God, this teenager. Just want y'all to know, teenagers can hear God. And so here's this teenager, and all of a sudden, he's getting these messages from God. And God tells him, I knew you before you were even in your mother's belly, in the womb. I knew you before. I knew you before. I knew you before you were formed, it said. I knew you before you were formed. So Genesis is God creating earth as a parallel world of heaven. Can you go up higher here?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's heaven. It's already created. Genesis comes in here and God is creating this parallel dimension and it is supposed to mirror heaven perfectly. When Adam's placed in the garden, now things happened and there was a tovu vabohu. There was the darkness came when Satan did his thing and everything, but God brings it back. And what does he do? He puts Eden in the earth. Amen. What does Eden look like? Heaven. It's Eden means voluptuous living. That's what it means. So here they have everything they need. They're in the garden. Everything is good. Adam is in the garden. Well, let me back up. God makes all this stuff. He makes the plant kind out of what's in heaven. And he sees the same thing. So he mirrors it. Well, here's a heavenly pear tree. Put it over here. Here's a heavenly pecan tree. Put it over here. Here's a heavenly ice cream tree. No, they didn't put that one over there, but praise the Lord. Now, so then earth is the parallel dimension. So that's why Jesus, now can you see why Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Paradise, which by the way, the garden did not go away. It moved.
Right. That's right.
It's in you.
Yep.
Now, so we have God creating all these things, and God saw that they were good, and then we were created, or Adam was created, in the image of God. God is a spirit. Adam was created as a spirit. Okay? Now, he made a parallel version of himself and he gave this being that he made king dominion over the earth. A spirit man is what he's doing here. Now, you'll pick up, we'll go somewhere and you'll get the wholeness of this. Tzelim means spirit in Hebrew and it means image. That's what it means. It's a spirit. It's an image. So Adam is ruling in what we would call the fourth dimension. He existed outside space and time. Is that too much? He existed outside space and time. And so he's living with God, with the angels, with the Word himself. Jesus is the Word. He's living in this dimension with everything that goes on in heaven. He's doing all this. Now, Jesus finally came into the third dimension. We live in the third dimension. We're three dimensional. Heaven and all of the heaven's activity is the fourth dimension. And then it goes on out up to 11 and on. Okay. And so fourth dimension is where they exist. Light speed up. So he was there in the beginning, and he has this dual citizenship. So he's traveling between two parallel universes. And when he made him, he had him outside space and time. He put him in it. He created him and then formed him. Okay? He created him and then he formed him. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Did he say that? I knew you when you were just a little spirit. Okay? Now, so, listen, Adam didn't see visions and dreams and things the way we do. He was able to appreciate multidimensional life and space without a need for interpretation because he lived in that atmosphere. If you can think high, you're going to go somewhere with this. If you can think high, I'm telling you, you're going to get this and you're going to go somewhere with it. So, then he fell, okay? So his earth eyes became his birth eyes. He's looking through other eyes, but now he's going to have to look through the formed eyes. So he starts looking through those instead of the created eyes. Did I just get you right there? So he's looking through the eye. He was looking through the eye of the spirit. Even though he was like us, he had glorified. But he was looking through the created eyes. So he could see way more. I said he could see way more. So he gets landlocked, but then Jesus comes and changes that for us. And what are we called? New creatures. New creations. We're new. So we're back. We just don't know it like we need to know it, but we're actually back to that. So the thing with Jesus now is he has to explain, the four-dimensional concepts to us in three-dimensional ways. The sower sowed the word. This kingdom of God is like like leaven that a woman. The kingdom of God is like, so he's explaining everything to us with parables. And if you can see with the creative eyes, you can understand what he's really talking about. He says the kingdom of God is like these things. The other dimension is like.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Wow. Glory to God. I might have to run around the room. Glory to God. Okay. Now, so here's my point to you. God was not having a conversation with Jeremiah, the formation. God was having a conversation with Jeremiah, the creation. God is having a conversation with Debbie, the creation, not the formation. With Margaret, the creation, not the formation. He's spirit. He's talking to you in the fourth dimension, on the fourth dimension level. He saw him before he was in his mother's belly. Now, that's how he's talking to you. So we're created to hear God before you were born. Your DNA, when God first speaks to you, get the mic, will you? I want you to tell this. You got to hear what Danny taught me today. This is brilliant. When God talks to you, he's pulling on that DNA.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Tell about what you said. You gave me those examples. Tell about that.
So your DNA is the written God's word spoken as your creation. That's how he formed you, right? That's how he formed. So when he calls to you, he calls to that DNA. So your calling is literally calling you. So when you are called out, so for me, not when I was saved, but when my life was, when I really began to live for God, it was all about purpose, who I was, that I had an identity and all those things. Well, for me, that's what I'm called to teach is identity. I'm called to teach who you are. For Pastor, what changed her life, she was saved, but when she turned her life totally around to God, it was the message that God is good. She's called to preach God is good. For Ms. Deb, she had someone evangelistically come to her on the street and speak to her and present Jesus to her. Ms. Deb is clearly drawn and called to street ministry. Amanda had the Lord show her about a father's love. Amanda's message that she enjoys to preach is a father's love. And so it is the calling of what you are called to do and to bring into the earth. Revelation 19:11, it is, your testimony is the spirit of prophecy of what you're called to do.
Do you hear that? Your testimony is your calling. My whole life changed when I found out God was good. That's the calling on my life. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Danny. And she told me that today. I was about to run around the room. That is so good. Who you are. God starts calling you like that. He starts calling you for who you are. Praise God. Y'all still with us? Okay, we have just a little bit more to go. So, for us on this side, before you're born again, you're trusting in form. Am I right? You're just trusting in form. You're going, let me see if I can figure out what I'm going to do. Let me work to do this. I have to get more information. Church, people read the cereal box over and over. Because their brain wants information. Am I right? You're laughing because you do that. And it's right to feed you need some intellect. It's right to feed information. But revelation is above information. And so you got to let revelation tell information what to do. So you started out because you have to get born again to get in this. You have to answer God when he offers you salvation. And so you're starting out informed, but once you're born again, you start trusting creation. Your created part starts trusting the creator. Now I'm going to give you this for free and you can just take it with you and think about it. Think about creative miracles. I said creative miracles. Danny and I were talking about it today. What's that all about? It can't come from form. No. If an eyeball is missing, form can't heal it. It's not there. You have to go back to your beginning and get your spiritual eyeball and believe it. And it'll manifest.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus. Okay.
This is so multi-leveled. Okay. I know that you can pick it up. So, see, you're a new creature, but how many of y'all have ever been to Dairy Queen? Yes. Okay. At Dairy Queen, you can get a vanilla ice cream in a cone, but if you want a dip cone, they take it and they do like this and they dip it in the chocolate. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, God dipped Adam in the dirt.
Oh my. Okay.
Did that help you?
See,
there's a parable for you right there.
Yeah.
God dipped him. He didn't lay him down like this. He stuck him 6 feet down. He dipped him in the dirt. You are like, no, he didn't. Come on, church. I'm trying to give you a parable about this.
Yeah.
He took an already creation and then formed him.
Yes.
Well, so why is that important? Because this is going to help you live from your spirit.
Yes.
Because your first spirit.
Yes.
And God talks to spirit.
Yes.
And your spirit will get your flesh to do what it wants to do if you will obey it.
Yes.
You're a dip cone. People gotta go, what'd y'all learn at church tonight? Oh, that we're dip cones. No, like five people already are going, I'm going to Dairy Queen after this. Pauline isn't here or we would be going. Pauline loved Dairy Queen. Now, so God created Adam, then he dipped him in the dirt. So at first, you just thought you were dirt, right? You just said, well, I'm just flesh, I'm just dirt. But you're way more than just dirt. You're a bit of a mud pie, it is true. But the truth is that is only your earth suit, like people wear a space suit to live on or to walk on the moon. I know some of y'all don't think that really happened, but let's just pretend like it did, if that helps some of you. They had to use that to breathe. You have to be in an earth suit here or you have no dominion. The devils told Jesus, what are you doing here? You're God and you've come before your time, and he shut them up. They were trying to trick him into admitting he was God. Because he said, no, you have to have an earth suit to be here. I have an earth suit on. Do you understand why God just doesn't just do stuff? Why doesn't God just, why didn't God just do something? Because he has to do it through people. And if a person won't pick it up and do it, it won't get done. He has to do it through people. It has to be prayed or declared or acted out, or it can't be done. That's just the truth. You have to, he gave Adam the dominion in the beginning, and he can't take it back until the lease is up. Now, Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not what? Conformed. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, don't let your form con you. Right? You're way bigger than that. Don't be robbed of your true dimension. Stop thinking that you're just, you are so much more. Amen. You have dominion. You can have heaven on earth. You can change an atmosphere in 8 seconds if you have the right words. Hey, people change atmospheres all the time with their gloom. They'll walk into the room and you're like, dear God, here it comes. Blah, 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 blah. You're like, take your garbage somewhere else. I don't care. Take your worry somewhere else. Amen. They just blacken the atmosphere, but you can come right in there and change it. Amen. You can change it. Why? Because you're talking from creation and not from the form. You have a much deeper well than you think you have.
That's so good.
You're a new creature. Heaven is right here. Remember the song, some of you who go back to the 90s, some of these kids just got here then. Heaven is in my heart. Heaven is in your spirit. The garden is in your spirit. Heaven is a dimension right here manifesting in our room, right here, right now. And when we start talking about these things, the glory of God begins to manifest. At Navigate, it got pretty heavy the other day, didn't it? I mean, we were all like, whoom. You could just sense the power of God coming in. He likes this because it helps us. This speaks to the city of our soul. We can really get this because of who we are. We're like, yeah, we're dimensional people. And I said all that because I want you to understand that my first comment, one of my first comments was this. We will have to break through dimensions to get done what needs to be done during this awakening. We're going to have creative miracles. We're going to have the power of God. We're going to have the power to be courageous and to stand up. We're going to have the power to say no to some things. We're going to have to, and that's all going to come from the creative part of us. And it's going to come because we have a way to discern. And you will, I'm going to tell you, not only few people do this. If you count the population of the world, not many people do this. But you'll have to learn to use that little unit I was telling you about. You'll have to discern what's God's voice and what is soul. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard a whole lot of soul. And people think it's God. Have you been in prayer meetings and you know when everybody's praying and everything and then someone just says something out of their soul? Can you tell? Yeah. I can absolutely tell so quickly. I'm like, that wasn't God. But that's okay. You're in the comfort of your own church. You'll learn. But you can immediately know when you're on this, in this dimension, in this flow, you know when someone drops out of it and they're on a completely different, everybody's laughing and they're doing something else. You know, that you can tell when people are in a different place. Am I helping anybody? Thank you, Jesus. So Adam had this dual citizenship. So do you. You're not mere man. You're not mere woman. You're God's creation. You're in his image. You're a dominion king. Church, 90-something percent of the church of the living God do not understand the believer's authority. They don't know that they have authority in the earth, but we're actually the ones who have it. The ecclesia has the authority. Well, I just don't know about bossing God around. Oh, we're not bossing God around. We're bossing particles around. We're getting into quantum physics. And we're bossing demons around. We're telling them where to go. Yeah, I don't mind saying that, Lord. Okay. You remember Art and Patty were little guys, and we were down, I guess, in the 90s, and there was a preacher named Leroy Thompson. Powerful man of God. And he went to in the store, and the guy ahead of him was buying a six-pack of what I don't know. But he just said it was a six-pack, so I'm assuming it was, you know. So the man was checking out, and the man says, "Whoo, money goeth, doesn't it?" And Leroy said, "Ah, sure does." He walked on out, and when he got out in the parking lot, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "Money goeth?" He just got on to him about it. And Leroy said, "Oh, Lord," because we're confession people, right? Y'all get that. We're confession people. Yes, okay. So he said, the Lord said, "No, you should be saying money cometh." Now they're having fun with King James. Okay. We don't talk like that, but they're just having fun with it. So from that day on, his ministry took off. And he already had a great ministry, but he began to be this person who helped people spiritually get their finances in. Mm-hmm. And we called it pulling the lever. Amen. Now, the formed person would think that's ridiculous. The carnal person would go, "What are y'all doing? That's stupid." Right? Mom will tell you, I pulled that lever and it worked.
That's right.
And this is what he would say. He would do like this. He'd say, "Money cometh to me now." That's what he would do. And he'd do it three times. And he would preach about how God wants you to have good finances. Now, of course, you know, you get persecuted when you're a prosperity church. That's okay. I'll be comfortable while they persecute. Yeah. But the truth is God, but see, that rubs carnal people. Yeah. Yeah. That rubs them. What are they doing? Who do they think they are? They're just after money. Yes, but for the right reasons. For the kingdom purposes. We have money, but money doesn't have us. And that's what we have to understand. When it's not your God and it's just a tool, you need it and you need to use it. Okay. But see, to the carnal person, you know, those preachers with airplanes. Well, my preacher with an airplane just brought people home from Afghanistan and has gone over to help the Ukraine and da-da-da and da-da-da and da-da-da. And so, you know, don't judge my living if you haven't seen my giving. But you see how the carnal thinking, the form. But when I first heard these things, I was like, But when I started depending on the Spirit to correct me, it became so easy for me to see that man was anointed. And when he did it for a span of time, and then it was time to move on to something else. And I don't even know what he does now, but he helped the body of Christ get over. To get over this poverty mentality.
Right.
And there have been other people that do that. Brother Hagin helped everybody get over being sick.
That's right. Yeah.
Thinking that you had to be sick. And that you could be healed. Mm-hmm. You see? And so on. And Brother Copeland is a faith expert. He's a faith expert. Mm-hmm. He helps people move into those things. See? And we could go on and on and on and talk about it, but it's built to reach your spirit, not your flesh. Mm-hmm. Amen. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord. Every time you have heavenly encounters now. And listen, we're not just talking about money and healing. All those things are good. We're talking about that you have enough encounters and understand enough thing, get enough revelation that you're going to help other people.
Yes.
That's what it's. Why do you need health? Because you're the answer to somebody's problem.
Amen.
Why do you need money? Because you're the answer to somebody else's problem.
Right.
Why do you need anointing? You don't need it if you're not going to do anything. You're anointed because you're the answer to someone else's problem. Oh, I never thought about that. That's because you're thinking in form and not creation.
That's so good. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for everyone that has listened today. I thank you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened to know the hope of your calling, Lord. We bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.